This is KMXT Kodiak 100.1 FM. We are streaming live on the web at kmxt.org. It's going to be another beautiful hot day today in Kodiak. Right now it's 70 degrees and it's just going to get warmer. My name is Jared. I'll be taking you through the midday report and then on to Talk of the Rock. Talk of the Rock today, my guests will be Chamber of Commerce. Kodiak Chamber of Commerce is going to talk about the virtual Crab Fest. Well, let's take a look at got a fishing update for freshwater fishing. Passaic Shack and Saltry Sockeye runs have seen slower weir counts, but most indications are there's a fair number of fish built up in the bays nearby. So look for some incoming fishing there. Buskin and Litnick saw some reds showing up, but those are tapering off now, and they're going to slow down with pinks starting to show up. And they're starting to show up at the Buskin and in Chiniac. Early catches indicate a very large pink fish this year. Decent schools coming in with each tide. Stocked King runs are still very weak. Few fish are seen and caught over the weekend, but Fishing Game will be out collecting fish for the Egg Tech, and fishing is likely to be great from here on out. And Dolly Varden is pretty good in most local rivers and even from the beaches. Hot spots right now, American, Saloni, and the Buskin. Well, our headlines coming up on the Midday Report. Mask mandates for Kodiak stores begin this week. The Coast Guard medevaced an injured fisherman yesterday. The city of Kodiak is looking to build a new fire station, and it might impact the Providence Kodiak Counseling Center. Overall, the Alaska fishing industry has kept the COVID-19 virus contained and school reopening plans for the Northwest Arctic Borough. These headlines and more coming up on the Midday Report after national news from NPR.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. President Trump revives a daily coronavirus briefing today, but it's unclear if one of the most prominent faces on his task force will be there. Trump's stance on the U.S. response to the outbreak has sometimes clashed with Dr. Anthony Fauci's on issues of testing, treatment, and general facts about a virus that has so far infected more than 3.5 million people and claimed more than 140,000 lives in the U.S. Earlier today, Fauci strongly advised states to unite and double down on the message that wearing a mask saves lives. He's also telling people to worry less about what will happen in the fall and focus on now.
Because if you're talking about waves, we are really essentially still in the first wave when you're having, you know, up to 70,000 new infections in certain areas of the country. That's something you need to focus on right now, as opposed to looking ahead at what's going to happen in September or in October.
It's also unclear if Dr. Deborah Birx, another member of the task force, will be present at today's briefing. Vice President Pence, who heads the group, is traveling. The president has signed a memorandum to bar people in the U.S. illegally from being included in the census count used to divide up congressional seats among the states. Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the House will vigorously contest. NPR's Hansi Lo Wang reports the Constitution requires the count to include every person living in the United States.
The 14th Amendment requires the counting of the, quote, whole number of persons in each state, unquote, to determine how many seats in Congress each state gets after the once-a-decade census. Since the first U.S. census in 1790, both U.S. citizens and non-citizens, regardless of immigration status who live in the country, have been included in the population counts. But President Trump's memorandum calls for unauthorized immigrants to be excluded. The move by the president is more likely to spark legal challenges in the lead-up to this year's presidential election than to transform the census. Hansi Lo Wang, NPR News, New York.
The Department of Justice is charging two Chinese nationals with costly cyber attacks in the U.S. that allegedly have been going on for years. NPR's Ryan Lucas reports prosecutors say the pair recently targeted U.S. firms involved in research related to coronavirus vaccines and treatment.
According to the indictment, the two Chinese nationals hacked into computer networks in the U.S. and in other countries and stole hundreds of millions of dollars worth of trade secrets and intellectual property. Prosecutors say the two men stole information for their own personal gain, but also did so at times at the behest of the Chinese intelligence services. Their hacking campaign began in at least 2009 and continues up to the present day. The pair's recent efforts allegedly include targeting several American companies conducting COVID-19 research, although prosecutors do not say that they managed to steal any of that information. U.S. officials say both defendants are currently believed to be in China. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
Well, the number of COVID-19 cases in Alaska is soaring. Yesterday, the state reported another 141 Alaskans and non-residents infected with the disease. It's the highest one-day total yet, and it's the second day in a row that the state has reported more than 100 new infections. Two outbreaks among seafood workers are in part fueling yesterday's high numbers. Local officials had announced the cases over the weekend. The largest of the two outbreaks is aboard a huge factory fishing vessel called the American Triumph. The vessel was docked in Unalaska and is now headed for Seward. More than two-thirds of its crew have tested positive for the virus. The second cluster of cases is in Juneau at the fish processor Alaska Glacier Seafoods. Also included in Monday's report are 52 infections among residents from Anchorage. It's the highest one-day total for the municipality yet, and follows recent warnings that the city could exceed its ICU bed capacity in as little as 10 weeks. The state reported one new hospitalization on Monday and no new deaths. As COVID-19 infections rise statewide, Kodiak's two largest stores have begun to require shoppers to wear masks. The new policy for Walmart took effect yesterday. For Cars Safeway, it starts today. For both stores, the changes were instituted nationwide at the corporate level to help stop the spread of the coronavirus. As KMXT's Rhonda McBride found, there are mixed feelings about this latest move.
In a small town, trips to the store are more than about shopping. Since the advent of masks, Jennifer Foster says she misses the visits with her friends.
I think for now it's good, and we'll know more as the research tells us later on. But we try and get in and out quickly because it's not comfortable wearing masks, so usually my kids don't come with me.
Even so, Foster thinks it's a good idea to wear a mask, as does Tom Minion, who had $5,000 worth of shopping to do for his fishing crew on the Provider.
Going to be gone for 50 days.
And he filled boxes and boxes of groceries wearing his mask.
Figure it's a good preventative. Anything that can help.
This Safeway is the only grocery store in Kodiak, which Mike Murray has managed for more than 20 years. He's glad most of his shoppers are already in the habit of wearing a mask.
I feel it's the right thing to do within society. Personally,
Murray believes wearing masks is the fastest way to get our old life back.
I know many other retailers are doing it, and some have done it far longer than we're doing it. I think it's going to provide some consistency amongst retailers so that we all kind of come together for what I believe is the right common good.
Murray says he does worry about many of the young men he sees without masks, guys like Elias Kernan.
As of now, I'm just showing my freedoms of not wearing a mask.
Kernan drives a black pickup truck with two big American flags in the back. He's not happy with the new mask policy because he believes it infringes on his freedom of choice. But will he challenge that policy?
Even though personally, I respect the business and I see where they're coming from. So yeah, of course I wear a mask.
A few miles away from the store, at a rocky beach, a young fishing crew celebrates a mate's birthday with a bonfire. No one in this group of about eight has a mask on. Two of the guys say they don't believe the new policy will make a difference and doubt what experts say about the virus.
It's not airborne, correct?
It is airborne?
Yeah, they're saying it's airborne, not serviceable.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Don't know, then they know, and then they kind of know, and they know some more, yeah.
A few here say that they do make a point of staying away from bars and places where they might catch the virus, because it's safer to be away from crowds and be outdoors with the wind and the waves, and best of all, feel free. In Kodiak, I'm Rhonda McBride.
Although Cars Safeway is Kodiak's only full-service grocery store, KMXT contacted several other businesses that sell food about their mask policies. Cactus Flats, a natural food store, and the Thai Market require shoppers to cover their faces. Cost Savers does not require masks. KMXT was unable to reach the managers of Asian Groceries and Gifts in time for this story. About 24 Alaska Airlines employees at Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport are on quarantine. Airline spokesman Tim Thompson said they are following CDC guidelines after two customer service agents tested positive for COVID-19 in separate incidents. Thompson declined to speak on tape, but said by email that the two positive cases appear to be unrelated because the agents did not have overlapping work schedules. He said both had only limited contact with the public during their shifts. Public health authorities are responsible for contact tracing and for issuing any further notifications if necessary. An injured fisherman on the fishing vessel Rubicon was medevaced by the Coast Guard Monday afternoon. The 42-foot Rubicon was fishing in the Kuprianov Strait north of Kodiak when a crew member was injured. The captain's wife notified the Coast Guard, and the fisherman was transported via small boat to a nearby beach. About an hour later, an MH-60 Jayhawk helicopter crew from Air Station Kodiak transported the man from the beach to local EMS. The aircraft commander on the case, Lieutenant Jared Carbajal, said, quote, "This was a very quick case. Good communications from the boat, excellent flexibility, and the captain's expert seamanship enabled a very quick pickup and transfer of the injured fisherman to medical care." The city of Kodiak is looking for a place to build a new fire station in town, and they think they found it, but there's a lot of work to do before they break ground. At a borough assembly meeting earlier this month, Kodiak City Manager Mike Twenge told the assembly that the city has its sights set on a piece of property owned by the borough.
One location that meets all requirements is the property currently owned by the Kodiak Island Borough, which fronts East Reznov Drive and Egan Way, which is right over here.
That plot of land sits next to Kodiak High School and KMXT Studios and, according to Twenge, fits the criteria for an effective city fire department.
The current average response time within the city is approximately 5 minutes or less. The city has evaluated the size and easement restrictions on the property and is requesting the assembly to authorize the city to investigate the potential to build a community fire and ambulance station that serves our residents and provides mutual aid to Bayside, Woman's Bay, volunteer fire departments.
Currently, Providence Hospital is leasing a couple of buildings there that house Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. But these buildings are slated for demolition. Brian Meisner, principal architect at ECI Alaska, hired by the city to investigate locations for a new fire station, expressed concerns about the state of the buildings.
Because of the vintage of those buildings, they almost certainly have asbestos-containing materials and possibly lead paint and other things.
Dave Conrad, director of engineering and facilities for the Kodiak Island Borough, said in an email to KMXT that due to the age and condition of the buildings, they must be torn down. In addition to asbestos and lead paint, they have inferior fire alarms and no sprinkler systems. The facilities are not, quote, remotely energy efficient, and costs to upgrade would be very expensive, unquote. Conrad also noted that with a facility of this age, there are normally concerns regarding contaminated soil. The buildings were originally built more than 50 years ago as dorms for students from remote areas to attend Kodiak schools. So what will happen to the counseling center? Carly Franz, spokesperson for Providence and Kodiak, said they're not sure yet.
So right now we're looking at a lot of different options. We're doing a lot of background work right now to find a good location.
The counseling center offers a wide array of behavioral health services, including case management for chronically mentally ill patients and Safe Harbor, an outpatient substance abuse treatment program.
Obviously, this is a very important service to our community, and we want to ensure that wherever we end up establishing as the new facility to care for this population is appropriate.
Even if a new fire station is not ultimately built there, those buildings will eventually come down. But no one is sure when that will happen or when counseling services will be relocated.
We do not have a specific timeline, but as I mentioned, we are proactively looking right now.
But what they do know is that the counseling center is not leaving Kodiak.
We do not have any intentions on stopping these services. As I said, they're very important for our community. And so our goal is to continue providing these services.
The COVID-19 pandemic hit students statewide about a month and a half before the end of the school year, moving them from their classrooms to their homes. Virtual learning became necessary to keep kids, staff, and parents safe from the virus. In the Northwest Arctic Borough, a school will start up again next month with a mix of in-person and virtual learning, which school district officials say they've had more time to prepare for over the summer. KOTZ's Wesley Early reports.
Tenant of the Northwest Arctic Borough School District at the end of January. By mid-March, the entire country was in the midst of a global pandemic.
It was real challenging. You know, I signed up and then boom, right after that, it hit.
After spring break, schools were closed to the public and learning continued online from home. Walker says parents were surveyed about how well the district facilitated distance learning. She says some of the biggest concerns involve children all of a sudden being at home, using up the phone, internet, and requiring oversight from parents that was normally left to teachers.
We wanted to start students out right away without losing a day of learning. Therefore, much of our time that we could have used to provide teachers with professional development in providing a quality distance learning program didn't happen.
Walker says this time around will be different. Teachers returning to the borough from outside the region will be required to self-isolate for 2 weeks, keeping with travel requirements from the borough government. In that time, Walker says the teachers will have 2 weeks of in-service training to get up to date on delivering a blended curriculum of in-person and virtual learning. Additionally, she says that 40 new teachers will be coming to the region and will need to be brought up to date quickly as well.
There's just so much in that 2 weeks that we've got to fill in for planning.
School will start up again in the Northwest Arctic Borough on Thursday, August 20th. During the first 2 days, students and parents will meet in person with their teachers to receive remote learning materials and discuss how distance learning will work. Younger students will be provided iPads, while older students will be given laptops. Starting the following week, students will attend classes under what's called a medium risk level, similar to how the Anchorage School District is operating. Masks will be required, temperatures will be checked at the doors, and everyone will have to maintain social distancing. Students will attend school in person 2 days a week in a staggered schedule after being separated into two groups.
Group A students will come Monday, Tuesday. Group B students will come Thursday, Friday. The day will be a shortened day. They'll be in for 5 hours a day rather than 6 hours a day.
Walker says the extra hour will be for teachers to provide additional distance help with online learning. Students will attend classes from home 3 days a week, and parents who want their kids to learn from home during the entire week will be able to do so. According to the district's website, meals will be provided for students in school as well as those at home. Walker says there will be slight changes to curriculum. For example, while high school grades will have to work the same way for things like GPA and scholarships, classes will be split up in a block schedule so that students aren't overburdened.
They will be taking 3 classes the first quarter and 3 classes the second quarter so that they don't have to focus on 6 classes all at once during the whole semester. By the end of the semester, they'll have the 6 classes completed. So we want to go into block scheduling for our middle high school students.
Walker detailed the work the Northwest Arctic Borough School Board has done this summer to allow the year to proceed as normally as possible, including approving the one-to-one devices for students.
They have made the safety of our communities and the education of our children a priority by having work sessions every couple of weeks over the summer to assist with the planning of our fall school startup.
Walker says the borough is still working on a plan for things like sports and other extracurricular activities. The district hopes to have more info in the weeks before school starts. Additionally, she says the district is working with local leadership to try to address issues involving internet access for all families as connectivity becomes considerably more important. Reporting in Kotzebue, I'm Wesley Early.
Locally, the Kodiak Island Borough School District presented their plan to the school board for reopening last night at last night's school board meeting. And tonight at 6:30, you can listen to the public forum that they will be holding presenting their plan right here on KMXT. That's at 6:30 tonight. Stay tuned for Fish Radio and then Island Messenger.
The local news is supported in part by Ardinger's Fine Furnishings, home of the Tempur-Pedic Ergo Collection and the Tempur-Pedic Breeze, made especially for those who sleep hot. The Breeze cushions and supports you while channeling excess heat away from the mattress. Tempur-Pedic's Ergo Base allows you to move the bed into multiple ergonomic positions for sleeping or relaxing. 486-5554.
And by Arctic Physical Therapy Services, Incorporated, professional rehabilitation for all your physical therapy needs. We repair the world's most complex machine. 813 Mill Bay Road, 486-4499.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Ideas are wanted to improve U.S. seafood trade, and export data for Alaska omits seafood. More after this.
Did you know that eating wild and sustainable Alaska seafood can boost your immune system? Learn more about Alaska seafood's many proven nutritional benefits at wildalaskaseafood.com.
The seafood industry and public have until August 1st to comment on ways to improve U.S. seafood trade practices. The comments are invited by a new task force named by the Trump administration in early May to resolve barriers to U.S. seafood trade and support more fair market access. A good start would be including seafood on the official state sheets used by the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative. For Alaska, the word seafood is not even mentioned, although it's been the state's top export by far for decades. But the trade sheet incorrectly claims that oil and coal are Alaska's top exports. It also states that Alaska exports supported an estimated 37,000 jobs. Wrong again. Alaska's seafood industry alone is the state's top private employer, directly supporting nearly 60,000 jobs and 10,000 secondary jobs. Seafood processing is Alaska's largest manufacturing base, but under a category called Made in America Manufacturing Exports from Alaska and Jobs, the trade data states that top manufacturing exports are transportation equipment, food and kindred products, computer and electronic products, and machinery. Who knew? It says agriculture in Alaska depends on exports and claims that Alaska is the country's 50th largest agricultural exporting state, topping the list of goods, other plant products, followed by livestock and feeds and grains. Seafood also is not mentioned in the U.S. trade pages for other big producers like Maine. Send seafood trade ideas via email to NOAA Fisheries by August 1st. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
We have one message. An LG phone in good condition was found out down by the boatyard by the benches at the causeway. That's yours. Give them a call, 654-5224, to claim your phone. Well, right now in Kodiak, it's 70 degrees. 0% chance of rain. Really, really nice. But winds coming from the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, we got a low of 54, 10% chance of rain, winds west-northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. And tomorrow, a high of 63 in Kodiak, 10% chance of rain with a few passing clouds, but otherwise generally sunny, it looks like. Winds picking up, though, from the west-northwest at 15 to 25 miles per hour with occasional gusts of over 40 miles per hour. Well, today is the 21st of July. It's Tuesday. The sun rose today at 5:45 a.m. and it will set tonight at 10:47 p.m., giving us 17 hours and 3 minutes of daylight. We will have lost 3 minutes and 38 seconds, but good news that the sun is going to rise tomorrow at 5:46 a.m. Our record high was 80 in 1955 and record low was 41 in 1920. All right. If you're heading out onto the water, here's our marine forecast. A 1,012 millibar low will form 120 nautical miles west of Middleton Island this evening and then move 120 nautical miles southwest of Yakutat at 1,007 millibars by Wednesday night. For west of Barren Islands, including Kamischak Bay, there's a gale warning tomorrow with winds up to 35 knots and seas at 13 feet. Same with the Barren Islands East, gale warning tomorrow, west wind to 35 knots, with seas building to 16 feet in the afternoon. For Marmot Island to Sitkanak, a small craft advisory through Wednesday. Right now, a west wind of 25 knots with seas at 8 feet, and tomorrow, a west wind of 30 knots with seas at 9 feet. For Chiniac Bay today, west wind of 10 knots in the morning, becoming variable wind less than 10 knots with seas at 3 feet. For Marmot Bay today, west wind of 20 knots with seas at 3 feet. And tomorrow, west wind of 20 knots, seas at 4 feet. And for the Shelikof Strait, small craft advisory today and tomorrow. Right now, a southwest wind of 25 knots with seas at 7 feet. Tonight, southwest wind of 25 knots, seas at 8 feet. And tomorrow, west wind of 25 knots with seas at 7 feet. Our tides, we got a high tide in the Kodiak District coming up at 3:59 p.m. of 7.29 feet. A low tide tonight at 9:12 p.m. of 2.09 feet. And over on the west side in Neuganic Bay, high tide later on this afternoon, 4:17 p.m. of 14.76 feet. And low tide, 10:03 p.m. of 1.76 feet. All right, we're going to listen to a new Department of Fish and Game message. I'm going to hop on over because we got Talk of the Rock with the Chamber of Commerce coming up right after the Island Messenger.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 10, date issued 10 a.m. on July 20th. There will be a 57-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Tuesday, July 21st, till 9 p.m. Thursday, July 23rd in the following areas: in the Cape Alatak, Alatak Bay, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alatak District. As previously announced, there will be an 81-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Monday, July 20th, until 9 p.m. Thursday, July 23rd in the following areas: in the Outer Iqaluk, Halibut Bay, and Outer Karluk sections of the Southwest Kodiak District, the Northwest Kodiak District, except for the Kajuyak Bay, Terror Bay, Inner Euganic Bay, and Zacher Bay sections will remain closed, the Afognak District, except for the Inner and Outer Katoy Bay sections remain closed, the Northeast Kodiak District and the Eastside Kodiak District, except for the Inner Yugak Bay section, will remain closed, and the Humpy Dead Man section of the Alatak District. There will be a 57-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Monday, July 20th, until 9 p.m. Wednesday, July 22nd, in the Mainland District. The seaward zones of the Alinchak Bay, Katmai, Dakovac Bay, Outer Kukak Bay, Hallow Bay, and Big River sections of the Mainland District, and the seaward zones of the Northwest Afognak and Shuyak Island sections of the Afognak District remain closed to commercial salmon fishing. The following areas remain open until further notice: the Spirit and Bay Special Harvest Area, also known as Telrod Cove. Until further notice, in that portion of the northwest and southwest Kodiak districts, south of a latitude of Cape Kuliak, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purseine gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Concerning the North Shelikof Strait fishery, short notice in-period closures may occur for seine fisheries in the seaward zones of the North Shelikof Strait area as designated in the North Shelikof Strait Sockeye Salmon Management Plan. Closure announcements may occur at 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., noon, 2 p.m., 5 p.m., or 8 p.m. on VHF Channel 6. Other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart, detailed in Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations, and statistical charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office. And, of course, the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour record-a-phone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
All right, just a couple of community announcements before we get to Talk of the Rock. Caregiving 101 webinar is this evening from 5:30 to 7:30. This week it is, When Does Forgetting Become a Disease? Have you ever walked into a room and forgotten why? We encounter so many changes as we grow older, including many changes with our memory. This class starts the discussion by distinguishing what is normal between what is normal aging and what is not. Learn about the different types of memory and, if there is a concern, how to facilitate conversations with your doctor and your family. Again, that's tonight from 5:30 to 7:30. It's free to attend, but registration is required. There's a link on our community calendar page, but the link is https://bit.ly/3ign, and then capital L, small k, capital S. For more information, you can call 907-452-2277. The City Council will hold a work session tonight, Tuesday, July 21st at 7:30 p.m. in the Kodiak Public Library's multi-purpose room at 612 Egan Way. The work session is open to the public, and COVID-19 protective measures will be taken. You can call the City Clerk's office at 486-8636 for more information. City Council also has a regular meeting on Thursday, July 23rd, also at 7:30 in the Borough Assembly Chambers, and that meeting will be broadcast here on KMXT. This evening on KMXT, we will be broadcasting the school district's update to the community. That starts at 6:30 and will go about an hour to an hour and a half. So we'll have a programming change today we still have Emerald Isle Bluegrass at 3 o'clock, the first hour of All Things Considered at 4, the regular news hour at 5, and at 6 we'll have Island Messenger and a little bit of music before we go to the Borough School District's update to the community. Market season is upon us, and Kodiak Beartown Market and Kodiak Arts Council are collaborating to bring you Beartown Market in a Box. The July Beartown Market in a Box includes items from Oceanborn Designs, Seroptimist International of Kodiak, Emerald Isle Essentials, Natasha's On Priestess, and Kodiak Harvest Food Co-op. Only 35 boxes are available. You may purchase them now and pick them up on Saturday, July 25th from noon to 2 at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium. You can find Beartown Market in a Box on the Kodiak Arts Council website, kodiakarts.org. And that's it for the Island Messenger.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.